Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Psalm 27, one of my most favorite of the Tehillim. Faith is seemingly a simple endeavor. Many of us have it ingrained in us when we were children. We grew up believing that God created all this and that He watches over us like He has done for millennia. Many Jews believe, but the harder thing to do is to act, is to perform mitzvot. But trust in God, emunah, faith, these are the feelings that the majority have, and it is unshakable. That is until crisis strikes. When something disturbs our world, when enemies are surrounding us, and we see no way out, and when we call out to God and He is not responding, that's when the true test of faith takes place. Psalm 27 is David's attempt at faith in God, despite the fear that grips him, the enemies that surround him, the family that abandoned him, and the God who has still not answered him. Psalm 27 is clearly divided into three sections, with the first receiving the title Faith, as we'll see, the second with the title One Request, and the third revisiting the title Faith. Between these two faiths, we learn about the true feelings of the psalmist and the struggle he endures every day. Let's begin. V'David Adonai Orevi V'ishi Mimi Ra Adonai Ma'oz Chayai Mimi Efchad B'krov Alai Mireim Le'echol B'sari Tzorai V'oevai Li Heima Kashlu V'nafalu Im Tachne Alai Mechne Lo Yira Libi Im Takum Alai Melchama B'zot Ani Boteach. God is my light and salvation. From whom shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. From whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies encroach to eat my flesh, my attackers and my adversaries, it is they who will surely be defeated and fall. If the army encamps upon me, I will not be afraid. If a war should rise up against me, in this I will trust. Now, despite repeating himself over and over that he has no reason to fear, I believe that anyone who reads the text can clearly see a very frightened man. How many words are used to describe the enemies and the fear? Ira, Efchad, Mireim, Lechol B'sari, Tzarai, Oivai, Ira, Milchama. That's a lot of words. These are not the expressions of a person who is confident in his situation, comfortable in his political or physical surroundings. It reads like someone hiding in a bunker with arrows flying overhead, one who is desperately trying to convince himself that he has faith in God's salvation. Now, the problem only exacerbates when we encounter section 2, in which he asks only one thing from God. Achad shalti, I only want one thing. If it were only one thing, we would believe him that things are pretty good in his life and that one extra thing would make it perfect. But that's not at all what happens. His one thing extends and expands and rolls out of control. Achad shalti me'et adnai ota bakesh. Shifti ve'et adnai b'chol yimei chayai. Lachzok b'nom adnai u'beker b'chalo. Kis b'nei b'sukol yomar astir yomar b'sey toro lo. B'tzor yorom minu b'atay yorom 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 yorom. Just one thing, to sit in the house of God all the days of my life, to see the pleasantness of God, to visit in his temple, and that he will hide me in his sanctuary on a day of evil, and he will hide me in his hidden tent. On a stone he will lift me up. And now my head will rise above my enemies who surround me and offer sacrifices, and I will sing a song and rejoice to God. Wow, that was a lot. That's not one thing. It's a total overhaul, physical, spiritual, psychological. How do you ask for one small thing and then make it everything? Also, inserted into his idyllic picture in this dream is once again the fear of his encircling enemies. They don't even escape his dreams. Now, if you're still not convinced that David is struggling despite the facade of faith in God that we saw in the beginning, then let's look at section 3 in which he seemingly falls apart. Shema Adonai kuli ekra, v'chaneni v'aneni. God, please answer. L'cha amar li bi bakshu panei, panecha Adonai avakesh. Al taster panecha mimenu, al tatav hevdecha, ezrati ayita. Al ticheni v'al tazveni Elohi ishi, ki avivi mi azavuni v'adonai yasvi. He cries to God to answer him, pleads with God to not hide his face from him, be angry with him, or cast him off, or leave him. After all, his mother and his father deserted him. But God, you will collect me, right? Now in verse 11, he seemingly regains his composure and begins it without the fear and urgency but doesn't make it to the end of the verse before remembering his enemies. Horeni Adonai Darkecha, Unacheni Borach Mishor, Leman Shorai. Do it because of my enemies. But then he continues on this theme of his vicious enemies to the point where I might say that the word enemy is the guiding word of the psalm. Well, that can't be the case, right? After all, it's a psalm about faith in God. Do not give me up to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me and they breathe out violence. By this point in the psalm, we're entirely confused. Is David a knight of faith, espousing his trust in God despite the slings and arrows? If so, why does he feel so bad? Why does he seem like he's falling apart? Why, when he asks for one thing from God, does he go on so endlessly? And why, in the final section, do his feelings of fear, insecurity, and despair actually worsen? The answer, I believe, lies in the final two verses, which are the subject of many debates by commentators. The first verse seems to be a sentence fragment. It just doesn't say anything completely. While the second and final verse seems to have no address to whom he is speaking. Additionally, in the text, there are strange dots over the word lulei, which often mean that there's something unusual about the word. I think that the understanding of the whole psalm hinges on this one word. The word lulei means, were it not for, and usually there would be another word or set of words in between the lulei and the hemanti, as if to say, if it were not for X, then I would certainly believe to have faith in the land of the living. So what is the X? I believe the X factor is life when there is disruption and crisis. When enemies encircle and succeed despite their evil. When anxiety has taken control of an otherwise healthy, calm, and faith-driven life. When the land of living portrays reality riddled with pain and suffering, David says it's really hard to still have faith. Actually, out of crisis, it is much easier to just throw out the whole religious experience. David teaches us in this psalm that no matter how difficult, no matter the severity of the psychological hardship, regardless of how unfair it all seems, one can still dream of a different reality. And more importantly, one can and should wait for that reality to materialize. He tried to convince himself that his childhood faith will carry him through new crises. He was dead wrong. It weighed so heavily on him that he almost broke. Almost. Lulei, were it not for real life with all the struggles and vicissitudes, I would say that faith is easy. It's natural. I learned it as a kid and I will continue despite anything that comes my way. And then life hits and it hits hard and my faith is tested. But the final verse is the most powerful. Kaveh Adonai chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh Adonai. It means hope in God. Be strong and courageous in your heart and hope or wait for God. I believe David is speaking to himself here, saying, David, wait. Have patience. Have enough strength to wait this out. Hope. Never lose that childlike faith. Hope and pray that God will make it all right, will right the wrongs, will answer your prayers. Believe in yourself just enough to wait out the period of pain and suffering. And I assure you, God will hear. Your prayers will be answered. You'll even be able to sing that new song in peace and tranquility. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. David actually wrote about it. But for that, we have to wait all the way until we reach Psalm 40. Shalom.